If someone was to ask you, what is the greatest danger facing the church? There are a number of answers that might come up. We might look at things like homosexuality, adulterous marriages, and such like. But anyone who has studied the history of God's people understands that apostasy is very common among the Lord's people. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at verse 11, Moses tells the children of Israel, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, 'My power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth.' But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant with his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God." The real tragedy in all of this, as it was with the nation of Israel, is that oftentimes when people depart from God, they do so in the midst of the abundant blessings that he has given us. When we look at it, we often wonder about those blessings. How have we been enjoying the riches of the gospel? What are the blessings that he has bestowed upon us? Brethren, we are a people that is primed to fall if we fail to be humble. How is it possible that men and women with many years of experience leave the Lord with almost no shame whatsoever? As with all sin, it begins in the heart. Someone said, the worst of all sins is pride. The question that we might ask is, why is that so? Well, to answer that question, we need to ask another question. That question is, what is pride? We find throughout the Bible, and if we look in dictionaries, that there are several words that are used to indicate pride. Haughty is one of them. We find vainglory being used many, many times. A high look. The idea of being puffed up. Self-righteous. Or, as we might say it, that person is full of hot air. They like to hear their own voice. Things of that nature. in Proverbs chapter 25 at verse 14. The writer says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. Pride, as we are talking about it, is an unrealistic view of one's abilities. In other words, looking at it and thinking that it is something greater than what it is. The scriptures clearly warn us against doing those kind of things. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6 at verse 3 and says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. He said in Romans chapter 12 at verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. What he's telling us in there is that we need to be careful that we don't start thinking that we're better than we are. The sin of pride is not the same as self-respect. It is not the idea that we can't have self-respect for ourselves. It is not the idea that we cannot have pride, and I'm going to use that word, in our accomplishments. It is the idea of looking down on someone else and thinking that we are better than they are. An inferiority complex is not humility. People often use pride to mask their insecurities. C.S. Lewis called pride spiritual cancer, which eats up love and contentment. And in this case, C.S. Lewis was correct. Pride, as described in the Bible, comes from abundance, achievements, and blessings. And that's why it is so dangerous. Knowledge is good, but with knowledge comes danger. Because with knowledge comes the possibility of thinking in a prideful way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. When we look at things of this nature, we find that oftentimes, because of this, people can stand up and say, or will stand up and say, look at me, look what I have done, rather than realizing that it's God that allowed them to do what they have done. Paul warns Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 12, or verse 6 rather, as he is giving instructions to Timothy on finding men who are qualified to lead the Lord's people. And in verse 6 he says that man cannot be a new convert so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. The idea is, of course, that a person that is young in the faith and put in a position of responsibility may decide that he is more knowledgeable, that he knows more than other people. It may make him become primed to fall. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 7, the Apostle Paul says that God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Why did he give him this thorn in the flesh? What was this thorn in the flesh? We don't know. But it was something that bothered Paul tremendously. We understand that. But why did he give it to him? So that Paul would recognize and not be exalted above where he ought to be. Sometimes we need the same kind of thorn in the flesh to make us realize that we are not better than other people. Pride is a terrible thing. Pride is a sin. God hates pride. There are any number of passages that we can go to. Proverbs 21 at 4. I'm only going to read a couple of them. Proverbs 21 at 4. Haughty eyes and a proud heart. The lamp of the wicked is sin. Or one that we're all familiar with, because this is the one that we usually talk about when we talk about these kind of things. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. To me, and maybe I'm seeing something that isn't there, so that's always possible. To me, though, it's interesting that as he makes this statement, there are six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. What's the very first one that he lists there? Pride. All the rest of them are bad, but he lists pride at the very beginning. Why would he list pride at the very beginning if it wasn't something that he thought people ought to make sure that they kept out of their lives? When God makes statements about sin, we need to pay attention and we need to make sure that we stay away from it. You know, we often talk about sin. We often talk about the way things are. Why would we want to get close to it when we know that God abhors it? Why would we want to walk the path so close to sin that we might fall into it and know God's wrath? Pride causes other sins in our life. 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. John says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." When we look at sin, whatever the sin might be, it doesn't matter, it falls into one of those three categories. When we go back over to Matthew chapter 4 and we look at the devil tempting Jesus after 40 days in the wilderness without anything to eat, we find an example of all three of those. Pride is mentioned among the things that are of the world. The boastful pride of life is a sin that we need to stay away from. Sadly, this particular sin was involved in the very first sin. When you go back over to Genesis chapter 3 and you look there, you find that the devil comes and asks Eve, if God has told them that they cannot eat of something. And she continues to tell him what it is. And as they go down through this, you see in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from the fruit and ate. All of a sudden, the devil says, "No, you're not going to die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God." And she says, "Okay," and takes the fruit and eats it. I can be like God. I can be great. Pride got in the way. Sadly, pride also blocks repentance, because pride causes blindness. In Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, Paul writes, "Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now look at verse 22. "Professing to be wise, they became fools." I was working on some material for a Bible study that I'm having, and going down through it and talking about this idea of where the earth came from. In fact, the title of the lesson is simply, "What Shall I Believe About God?" It is amazing to me the number of scientists, the number of people who over the years have said that the theory of evolution is in fact. They have become so enamored with it that they can't see anything else. And yet, as I put the lesson together and study deeper into it, we find that most of the scientists of the late 19th and early 20th centuries said that it was a joke, that there was no basis to it whatsoever. And yet today, we see scientists in one form or another taking the theory of evolution as fact and trying to make people believe that it is so. Why do they do so? I suppose, or I suspect, that it is because of pride. "I'm smarter than you are." That would be my estimation of why they do so. A man who is proud comes to the point where he is afraid to face himself. Sometimes we use other words, which we looked at many of them, but we use other words for pride. One of the words that can replace pride most often is the idea of stubbornness. The idea that I'm not going to admit I'm wrong, period. You know, it's hard. Someone once said that the two words in the English language that are the hardest words to say are, "I'm sorry." Well, I would say that these other two go right there with it. I'm wrong. Doesn't matter which one you put in first place or which one you put in second place. It's hard to admit when people are wrong. So how do we identify pride in our lives? Well, essentially, it is competitive. Someone who has to always be the best. The more pride that one has, the more that they notice it in other people. Benjamin Franklin once said, "The proud hate pride in others." And he was exactly right when he made that statement. A proud person is usually thin-skinned. The reason for that is because of the insecurity that he carries within him. Pride is generally not satisfied with mere possessions. Pride must have more than the other fellow. I was having a conversation with someone not very long ago, and I made a statement, and that person came back with a statement that put them in a better position than what my statement had put me. And I said, "Well, that may be, but," and I went on explaining where I was, and they came back with another statement that put them in a better position than where I was. That's the idea of pride, folks. I always have to be the best. I always have to come out on top. Pride is not satisfied with mere possessions. It must have more than the other fellow. Pride looks down on others. In Luke chapter 18 at verse 9, says, "He," being Jesus, "also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt." The one that I think of most often was when they were in the temple and this Pharisee comes in to pray, and this publican comes in to pray, and the publican goes off in the corner and he bows his head and he says, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." The other one, the Pharisee, stands up, and we always read it, but we rarely read it with what I believe was the contempt that the Pharisee had in his heart. He stands there and he looks at this publican over there, and then he looks up at the ceiling, looking up at God. He grabs hold of his coat, and he says, he didn't have on a coat, folks. He grabs hold of his coat and he says, "God, I thank you that I'm not like that guy." That's pride, folks. That's pride. That's what's condemned in the Bible. That's the idea that we want to stay away from. Pride is quick to give harsh and unloving criticism. Pride is used oftentimes to cover one's own failures with attacks on others. Have you ever known someone who was always tearing somebody else down so that they could build themselves up? Because pride cannot admit or look at its own weakness, they get involved in rationalizing their fault-finding game. Pride produces envy and jealousy. Envy is that uncomfortable feeling that one experiences over the advances or good fortune of another. An envious person feels that any honor for another is a galling dishonor for himself. Pride cannot give honor where due. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 26, And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Pride will not allow that rejoicing. Pride will not allow that person to suffer with others. Pride causes some to use the charge of pride to destroy and minimize the influence of their competitor. In the Old Testament, we find in Numbers chapter 16 at verse 3 that Korah used that very thing against Moses. It says, they assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? He charged Moses with pride rather than accept the fact that it was he that was wrong. In Mark chapter 15 at verse 10, it says, for he, being Jesus, was aware that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. This was what caused them to crucify our Lord. Pride seeks the praise of men. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 12, it says, but they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogue, and respectful greetings in the marketplace, and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Pride may cause one to be busy with religious activities and yet not doing anything at all. It often substitutes outward service for inward service. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 18, Paul says, for it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Pride always compares as the results of standards. Pride seeks status and false symbols. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 at verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Someone once asked, why can't we have successes like the early church had in converting people to God and turning them from the world? I believe that this is part of the reason. The pride that they have in what the material wealth that they have amassed. Pride is also self-sufficient. Do you ever think about it? The middle letter in sin is I. The most dangerous word in the English language is I. Pride causes one to be intolerant in their study of the Bible. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, said, If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, and evil suspicions. When we look at what's said in that passage, we need to understand that oftentimes many of these controversial questions that come up, and many of the things about how we say something, are simply motivated by pride. And we need to be careful about those things. Oftentimes, pride will cause one to fail to admit they're wrong, and yet use labels to attack others. In 3 John verses 9 and 10, John says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. This guy, Diotrephes, he simply wanted to be the boss. He was going to make the rules. Nobody else was going to have anything to say about it. He was going to do it himself. Pride causes men to do foolish things and never make it right. And pride stifles the work of God. It will pit brethren against one another in an atmosphere of suspicion. Prideful people are sinful people and sensitive people. Like Saul, the king. In 1 Samuel chapter 22 at verse 8, Saul says, for all of you have conspired against me so that there is no one who discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you who is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in ambush as it is this day. And none of that, not a single word of that, was the truth. But in his mind, it had become so. Pride causes men to ignore clear warnings of danger. It causes people to do things that they realize or have been warned are treading on thin ice and possibly a mistake. When we look at pride, we can test for pride in our own lives. Do you ever become envious when someone outdid you or were commended and you weren't? Are you offended at constructive criticism? Have you ever pushed yourself to the breaking point because of pride? Have you ever had difficulty appreciating what others have done and expressing that appreciation because of pride? Have you ever been controlled by pride to the extent that you would not admit that the position you held on a given matter was wrong? Has pride ever hindered you in responding to the invitation when you really knew you should have done so to make things right? I'm not going to admit that I've been wrong. I'm not going to stand up in front of all those people and say, I made a mistake. No way. Have you ever felt that way? So what's the final end of the pride or the proud? Proverbs chapter 15 at verse 25 says that the Lord will tear down the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. Proverbs chapter 16 at verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Paul warned in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 12, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. And we could go on and on and on. Pride is a sin. And pride is a sin that oftentimes people take very lightly. We need not do so. Pride will cause us to leave the Lord. If you look at the outline, the next thing says, how to be perfectly miserable. Well, how do you become perfectly miserable in your life? You're always thinking about yourself, never thinking about someone else. You always talk about yourself. Look at me. Look what I've done. You use the pronoun I as often as possible in your conversations. You know, the truth of the matter is, nobody but you cares what you have done. If there's something that you have done that is of importance to them, they will let you know. You don't have to tell them about it. You mirror yourself continually in the opinions of others. You listen greedily to what people say about you. Are you that insecure? You insist on consideration and respect. You know, everybody likes to be respected. Everybody likes for people to consider them in their circle as one who is deserving of respect. But if you deserve respect, people will give you the respect. Insisting on it isn't going to get you any further. You demand agreement with your own views on everything. You sulk if people are not grateful to you for favors shown to them. Remember, these are ways to be perfectly miserable in your life. You never forget a service that you may have rendered. I remember when I did so and so for such and such, and they've never done anything for me. You expect to be appreciated. Expect to be appreciated. It's nice when someone says, thank you for a job well done. But as Jesus said, when you have done that which you were supposed to do, you still say, I am an unworthy servant. I have merely done that which it was my duty to do. You are suspicious of everybody. Why did they say that? Why did they do that? What do they want? What are they looking for? You're sensitive to slights. Did you know, and I'm sure you do, but oftentimes we don't think about it, someone says something to you and you get offended at what they said, 99% of the time, that offense is in your head, not theirs. We need to be a little less prideful. We need to quit wearing our emotions on our sleeve. We need to simply accept that people said something. Not that they said something because they're trying to hurt you. 99% of the time, that's not the case. Being jealous and envious will make your life very miserable. And never forgetting a criticism. Do you realize, and I will use preachers for this one, I could use elders also. Do you realize how often they get criticized and what would happen if they took those criticisms to heart and kept remembering them over and over and over again? Gary wouldn't be up here. I wouldn't be up here. You wouldn't find anybody that would ever, ever accept the position of an elder. That's one reason that many, many men say no to it. Little story. Man went to a congregation to hold a gospel meeting. And the first Sunday he was there, before services, he was talking to some people, and little Johnny came up to him, and he looked down at, and told him that he was going to have lunch with his family that day. And Johnny said, the preacher said, "Well, that's nice. And what are we having for lunch, Johnny?" Johnny said, "Buzzard." The preacher looked, "Are you sure about that, Johnny? You sure you heard correctly?" "Yes, sir. My daddy said that we might as well have the old buzzard and get it over with." I know everybody's laughing, but think about what was said and think about what it meant. How many times, once again, I will tell you, if this doesn't apply to you, ignore what I said. How many times have you left the building after a sermon and instead of examining your life against that sermon, talked about the preacher and what he had to say? People sometimes don't think before they say things. I want to stick one more up there, and then the lesson is yours. Trust nobody but yourself. If you want to be miserable in your life, these are the ways to go about being miserable. Put pride in your life. Let pride control that which you do. And I promise you will be miserable in your life. Pride is one of the worst character traits that a person can possess. It causes hurtful blows in this life and in the life to come. Humility may sometimes hurt, but God will heal and comfort you. When we are humble, we can see God and ourselves clearly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, Why do you boast as if you had not received it? He says, what have you got that God didn't give you? And if God gave it to you, why are you boasting about having it like you got it for yourself? You've heard the old expression, the self-made man worships his creator. Think about that one a few minutes. The self-made man worships his creator. If you want to be miserable in your life, let pride dictate the things that you do. We as Christians need to do self-examination and be certain of where we stand, and not only where we stand, but be certain of why we do what we do. Why do we do the things that we do? Is it because we are trying to please God, or is it because we want something to brag about? We need to be careful in that respect. Pride. Pride goes before the fall, and haughty eyes will cause one to stumble. Pride is where most congregations apostatize, because we want the accolades of men rather than the accolades of God. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to do so. As you look at your life, and as you honestly examine your life, what do you find in it? Are you doing that which God would have you to do? If you've never obeyed the gospel, the answer to that is no, you're not. Why haven't you obeyed the gospel? Is pride standing in your way? I'm not going to admit that I'm wrong. Is that the reason? If it is, you need to change your thinking. You need to realign your thoughts along God's avenue, not yours. Perhaps you obeyed the gospel sometime in the past, and yet you all of a sudden recognize that pride is driving you, not service to God. You need to repent of that. You need to ask God for forgiveness. Sometimes we find ourselves in a position that we have done things that the whole world knows about. When we repent, the whole world needs to know we repented. If it's private, keep it there between you and God. But if it's public, repent in public. Whatever it might be, if you're subject to the invitation of the Lord and we can be of assistance to you, won't you let us know as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?